Welcome to Boston's Best, a podcast where you go behind the scenes with financial planner Mark Condon as he asks industry-leading experts in and around Boston to talk about their businesses. Mark will find out what sets these companies apart from their competition and how they have risen above the inevitable challenges they have faced along the way to their ultimate success. And now, here's your host, Mark Condon.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 65 of Boston's Best. The goal of this podcast is to highlight businesses in and around Boston. My guests on today's podcast are Christina Larson and Rob Hook. They got engaged last holiday season and are looking to get married next year. Christina graduated from Johnson & Wales in Denver with a baking and pastry degree. She worked in the restaurant industry for 15 years and had always dreamed of opening a bakery. After being laid off due to COVID, Christina turned this setback into an opportunity and is now the proud owner of Basic Batch Donuts, a specialty donut shop located in Milford. Christina and Rob tell us they went around town putting lawn signs everywhere to spread the word of the grand opening, and it worked. They had a line out the door and around the corner on opening day of Basic Batch. They say they try everything all the time, and they attribute their success to being genuine and authentic with their customer base. When customers see them handling the service up front, as well as making donuts in the back, it registers with everyone. Their one-year anniversary is coming up soon on October 24th. In this episode, we talk in depth about the early successes and challenges they face when starting Basic Batch. Rob and Christina share the advice they give to anyone looking to start their own business from the ground up, and also how they prioritize time for themselves when they find those few hours throughout the week when they're not working in or on the business. And be sure to listen to the end, as Christina shares a common misunderstood aspect of the donut and pastry industry, what they would tell their 18-year-old selves, and how they define success in any given year. And so, with that introduction, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Boston's Best. Good morning. This week, we have the owners of Basic Batch Donuts and soon-to-be-married Christina Larson and Rob Hook. How are you two?
Good.
Good.
Awesome. Excited to have you two on here and talk about Basic Batch Donuts. Where are you two located?
We're located in Milford, Mass.
Milford? Okay. Nice. Very nice. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and your background. Are you from Massachusetts? Did you grow up around here?
I'm originally born and raised Southbridge, Mass. Small town. Okay. Not many people have ever heard of it.
I have not.
lived there my whole life. Went to Johnson & Wales in Denver, Colorado. Baking a pastry. Lived out there for a couple of years. Moved back to Boston. Worked in a few kitchens for a few years there. Now I live in Wrentham with my fiance.
Hi, how's it going, man? I was raised in New Hampshire and ended up moving down here in my early 20s just for work and stayed here ever since. I love it. You know, it's nice. More things to do. I grew up in an even smaller town than she did. So,
what town did you grow up in?
I grew up in a town called Mason, New Hampshire. So the population when I was there was less than 1,000 people. So it was real small and they were with each other. Yeah.
My high school was about 1,000 people, I think. So, nice.
I had 76 kids in my class and that was three towns.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. That's tiny. So Christina, was the plan always to come back to Boston or was it just kind of go to Johnson & Wales and see what happens after that?
Yeah, kind of just go to Denver, see what happens after that. I really chose the Denver campus. Kind of, I was just at a point in my life where I wanted to just branch out and leave Massachusetts and see what else is out there. At the time of graduating, I really wanted to do fine dining and they didn't really have a big fine dining or big restaurant scene out there. So I decided to come back to Boston.
Nice. Yeah. I've never been to Denver. I've always wanted to. It's at the top of my list. I've heard it's a great city.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So before you got into, you were in the restaurant industry. How long were you in the restaurant industry for?
A little over 15 years now. My first job was when I was 14, bussing tables.
Wow.
Worked in restaurants ever since.
Nice. So you went there for baking and pastries, obviously. So was that the ultimate goal, was to eventually start your own company?
Ultimately, yes.
Yeah.
You know, after, like I said, after I graduated, I wanted to veer towards fine dining. You know, my visions for what I wanted for my future changed a lot. But at one point, I wanted to be a pastry chef of a fine dining restaurant. And after a couple of years of that, I quickly realized it wasn't for me. And I wasn't really happy doing plated, intricate desserts with 19 components on a plate. So ultimately, I switched gears and I knew that I wanted to open my own place.
Nice. What about you, Rob? Was this always a path for yourself or how did it come about for you?
Not exactly. I mean, when I was younger, I spent some time in the kitchen, but, you know, nothing like as intricate as what Christina went through. You know, she went to pastry school and was a real professional. I was more so like a line cook. So like I've spent time in a kitchen, but I don't exactly have that expertise that she has.
I
went the trade route. So I was an electrician and now I'm actually a lineman for the power company. Now, you know, assistant baker or whatever you want to call it. I'm helping her as much as I can. You know, this wasn't foreseen for me. But this was a dream of hers, and just with the whole COVID thing and everything happening, being laid off and not knowing certainly what the future was.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just the route we ended up taking, and I love every minute of it. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess, is that what kind of led you to starting Basic Batch on your own, was that you said you got laid off due to COVID?
I was a pastry chef of two restaurants in Boston, and I was there for a little over 4 years. And then when COVID happened, I was laid off and I just really, you know, thought to myself, you know, I was traveling from Rentham to Boston every day and I was working a lot of hours and I was just really not totally happy with what I was doing. So I was laid off and we just talked about it and we were like, you know, this is the only opportunity probably we'll ever have. You know, I've always worked for other people and I don't think that you can start a business while you have a full-time job. So I feel like I was laid off. This is the opportunity. We got to go for it and see what happens.
I love that story though, truthfully. Like, this is what kind of prompted me. One of the reasons to start the podcast was one, to help promote local businesses. You know, certain industries got crushed due to COVID through no fault of their own. And then, you know, I had an owner of Boston Veterinary Clinic on here and he's like, not for nothing, but everybody adopted dogs during COVID and that my business has flourished. Right. But you know, I wanted to help promote businesses that had issues and like, or were had troubles due to COVID. And I found so many people started their business due to COVID. And I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I love the entrepreneurial spirit. So how does the process start, right? Like, how do you come up with the name? Is there a meaning behind it? Like, where do you make the donuts? You know, what, like, give us a little background on just how you decided to officially found Basic Batch.
Well, the name started mainly because we just wanted the space to be really fun and playful. And we wanted our donuts to resonate with that. And I just think that Basic Batch is a fun play on words. It's kind of one. You either kind of get it or you don't.
I kind of got it, but I wasn't 100% sure and didn't want to assume. I love it.
The people who don't really get it and ask us, you know, we just say, you know, every morning we just start with our basic batch of dough, you know, nothing crazy here. And
which is all
it is true, but we don't have to go into explanation of what basic batch donuts mean.
Anybody who's listening and gets it is your audience.
Yeah, exactly. That's our demographic.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get in at midnight every day. We have a small team. It's myself, Rob, and two other people come in at midnight. We don't make a brioche dough, so it's not made the day before. We start mixing our dough right when we get in. You know, the process, we mix it, we let it rise, and we roll and cut it, let it rise again, we fry it. They were decorating all the donuts in the early morning hours and putting the donuts on the shelf come 6-7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. So you get in at midnight?
Yeah. Sometimes a little earlier on the weekends, 10:30, 11.
Okay. So, I mean, walk me through the process. Like, how long is this process? And I guess, like, when do you sleep? You know,
my sleep schedule is a little all over the place. I don't really sleep that well. How long does it take? Yeah. One batch of yeast dough, I would say if we start at midnight, it's ready to fry by 3 o'clock.
Wow. Okay.
Final product, we're done by 4 or 5 o'clock.
So okay.
It's a long process. There's a lot of work involved, a lot of labor. Every donut's cut by hand, decorated by hand. We don't have glazing machines. So we're doing it all, just three or four of us every single day. So.
Wow. That's crazy. That's kudos to you. I mean, you know, I wake up early. I wake up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, but like starting at like midnight, I mean, everyone else is sleeping. The whole world is sleeping Monday.
Everyone's going to bed while I'm coming into work.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. So, and so I guess like that one thing of yeast, and forgive me, I don't know the entire process, but like roughly how many donuts does that get you, I guess?
One batch of our dough gets us about 300 donuts.
Wow. That's crazy. I didn't realize you started like that late or that early, however you want to phrase it, I guess, like at that time of day.
It really always wasn't like that up until I would say February or March. We didn't have any employees at all in the back. So from October to, you know, February, we just had family and friends helping whenever they could. But other than that, myself and Rob every single night,
wow,
just trying to pump out as much donuts as we could by ourselves.
Wow.
We were working 16, 17 hour days.
Oh, we were working the front too. We were coming out and serving the customers because we didn't have employees.
Right.
And then going back and prepping for the next day and doing dishes. So it's like, it was a lot when we started.
Yeah. That's like organized chaos, basically.
Yeah.
So what time do the doors open?
During the week when we're closed Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesday through Friday, we open at 6:00. On the weekend, we open at 7:00.
Okay. What time do you close on both days?
We close at 1:00. Unless we sell out, we'll close earlier.
Right. Okay. That's fair. And then you go home and sleep for a couple hours, maybe?
Try to.
Yeah. Wow. I got so many questions. So how many different kinds of donuts do you guys currently have on any given day, roughly? I'm sure it varies, but.
Anywhere from, I'd say, 12 to 15 flavors. Okay. And then we do cinnamon buns and Pop-Tarts and occasional pastries as well.
Okay. Do you have like a flagship? Is one that's like your consistent one, or is it just whatever you guys feel like from like day to day?
So we have 6 staple flavors. Those are on the menu all the time. They've been on the menu since day one. And then the other 6 to 10 flavors, or 6 of them, will change at the beginning of each month. And then sometimes we'll just throw random specials on daily, whatever we're feeling like.
And like, she went to the farm the other day and rent them. We have the Big Apple, and she got these peaches, and she's like, oh, these peaches are so good. She's like, I got to go back and buy a whole bunch. She ended up buying 3 bundles of them. And it was a special the next day. She's in the kitchen. That was her.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was so good.
So the inspiration behind different flavors, that's just something you guys like, is this stuff that you just try throughout the week, like the peach, for example, and you're like, oh, I got to try this out and see like what I can throw on a donut, basically.
Yeah. We're always honestly just bouncing back flavors, like each other. Like, we'll go home and, we'll go to the grocery store and we'll be like, oh, that would be a fun donut. Like, look at that on the shelf. Like, that'd be cool. Like, we're always just talking about new ideas and trying things. Sometimes they fail and people don't like them. And then other times people are like, you got to keep this on the menu all the time. Yeah.
So you have 6 staples. What would be the number one seller, I guess? Is there a runaway, or are they all pretty consistent?
It varies, honestly, based on our specialty, our monthly flavors. But as far as the ones on the menu all the time, blueberry cake, chocolate frosted, I would say are the 2 top.
Okay. Flavors. Got it. And when did you first open the doors?
October 24, 2020.
So just coming up on a year now. That's awesome. That's awesome. How did you find the location? Like, what was that? Is that an easy process? Was that difficult?
You know, we were looking online and we actually found that to be really hard to find a space that we wanted to actually use. We found better luck driving around to the neighborhoods that like we could see ourselves in.
Yep.
So we just drive around, see open spaces, and
for months.
Yeah. We were looking and we're kind of like, oh, do we do it? Do we not? The space that we ended up settling on was a space that wasn't equipped for a restaurant at all. It had no hood, it had no plumbing, it had no electrical. It was like, if you went into your garage, where you park your car, that's what it looked like. It was a concrete floor with nothing there. Me and Christina still come to the front or even the back. We just look around sometimes. We're like, wow, how did we accomplish all this? Because the fact is what? We signed the lease in July 11th, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were open. We opened the doors in 2.5 months. I mean, and this is in the middle of COVID. We got our contractors in here. We got the look that we wanted and everything was done, luckily.
Mind you, fun fact, the day after we signed the lease, Rob fell off of an 8-foot ladder and shattered his kneecap and had to get surgery the following week.
It was
a 12-foot ladder. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm a man.
we can say it was a 20-foot ladder. Listeners aren't
going to know. Yeah, keep going up. I mean,
but that's high. I mean, I'm terrified of heights, and not going to lie, 12 feet would scare me. So like falling down and crash, smothering your knee. That's awful.
So that was pretty defeating.
Yeah, I could imagine. Wow. And only opening up in 2.5 months. That's pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
It didn't feel that way to us, but it was.
I bet.
That was going to be the hardest part. When we were doing the build out and filing, trying to file the permits and everything with the town and, trying to line the contractors, we were like, we just can't wait for this part of it to be over. Not realizing that when we actually opened the doors, that was going to be the hardest part. And our day was going to go from, being 8 hours trying to juggle contractors or trying to get our permits in to spending 16, 17 hours at the space and not moving and kind of losing your life a little bit.
Wow. Wow. So you're coming up on a year. So let's get into what are some of the early successes that you experienced where you knew this is going to be a viable business. Like, we're onto something here. And then keep the list short, but what were some of the early challenges you two experienced at trying to open in a brand new business?
Yeah. The breaking of the knee was a difficult part because I was immobile and everything like that. But
finding staff. challenging, you know,
yep,
doing it all ourselves in the beginning.
Finding the staff was probably one of the hardest parts. I mean,
and still is to this day.
And still is to this day. I mean, finding employees. Well, we are so fortunate that, you know, the kitchen help that comes in at midnight, I always say to them, you don't work for us, you work with us. And they are just, they are happy to be a part of this with us. And it's like, we're a family in the back. Every Sunday,
awesome.
We all have breakfast together. We go to a local breakfast joint around here. We grab breakfast and we all sit down and we all just talk. We just have a really good time. We're just coming in here at midnight, as tough as it is, being the nighttime and not getting a lot of sleep. It is awesome to come in here and just like work with friends every single night. It's just fantastic.
That's awesome. That's great. That's really cool to have that feeling, especially if you're hiring people, for them to feel that the owners are trying to keep it that close of a community. That's awesome. That's really cool. So what are some of the early like successes though? Like that you, there was something happened where you just like, we got something here. Like this is going to be a like really good business.
Day one, when we were ready to unlock the door and the line wrapped around the corner all the way down the street.
Really? You
know, and we looked outside and we were like, what have we done? The line was so long. It was just, we're so grateful for it, but it was not what we were expecting. You know, when we opened our doors, we talked and we were like, yeah, we'll do on average, you know, 300 donuts a day, you know, during the week, 500 on the weekends, and we'll be good. And that was not nearly enough.
Wow, really?
I think grand opening weekend, we did just under 1,000 donuts. We opened at 8 and we were sold out by 9:15.
We were rushing around in the kitchen like mad people. I mean, flour was flying everywhere. This is our first time actually, you know, producing donuts on this scale for people. And we were kind of like, you know, blind in the back, just focusing on what we had to do to try to get it done. Not even looking in the front. The people were lined up an hour before we had opened.
People brought lawn chairs and books and they were camped out. It was like
true
for donuts.
It's true.
That's amazing.
We opened the doors and my eyes watered. I didn't even know how to feel. This is Christina's dream. And like, we have worked so hard to get to this point and, you know, to see everybody socially distanced with masks on and like showing up to like, you know, support us, to support Christina. It was moving.
That's such a cool feeling. I had no idea. Right. Day one, you were heading the line out the door. So how'd you two drum up, you know, just the buzz around the opening of it? Social media, I imagine.
Social media was big. We just tried everything we possibly could to get the word out. You know, we bought, I don't even know what they call it, other than signs.
Oh, they're like lawn signs.
Lawn signs.
Those cheap lawn signs.
Yeah.
You see contractors putting in yards.
And yeah, stuff. Yeah, yeah.
We made up like 50 lawn signs, and like late at night when everybody was sleeping, we would go down to like walking trails and we would jump out of the car with my hoodie on because I felt like I was doing something illegal. And we'd plaster our signs everywhere. And there are people who come into the state and they're like, you know, I walked down the Milford Rail Trail and I saw your sign. And that's how I found out about you. And I'm like, see that?
There you go. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. A colleague of mine, I think it was right when COVID hit, he was like, his motto was try everything all the time. Just see if something's going to stick. You're going to have some home runs through to something you thought of. You're going to have some duds, but just try everything all the time just to see what happens. That's awesome. That's really cool. So how do you two balance each other out running a business? Like, is one of you like a type A? Is one of you like handle the finances? Is one of you handle the creative? Like, how do you two bounce off each other with it?
Christina and I definitely have different personalities. Even, you know, working all those hours, you can imagine we butt heads in the kitchen sometimes.
Of course.
Tensions are rising. But to tell you the truth, like, you know, we're just so good at communicating with each other, even if we're ticked off. Like I said to do this, if you did that, it's like, we always come back, we talk about it, like we'll look at each other, you know, across the kitchen and we'll just smile. And we're just both stressed out and everything.
Yeah.
But it's crazy.
I'd say, you know, I don't know. I feel like you nailed it.
Okay. I don't want to start a fight. So.
No, you're not going to start a fight.
That's good though.
We balance each other out. I mean, I feel like we're the perfect team. Like, you know, where I'm weak at, he's strong and vice versa. And I just, this place wouldn't be what it is, I feel like, without each one of us.
Yeah. So how do you two manage your calendars? Like, you're obviously incredibly busy. Like Rob has another job as well. Like, how do you manage the calendars throughout the day on like any given day? And how do you like go about separating, I guess, work and personal life? But like, I guess, how do you manage your calendars, each of you?
I try go through my everyday life, how I do in the kitchen, and I make myself almost like prep lists. And I will have a prep list for my day. I'm like, you know, it's Monday, it's my day off, but I still have work to do.
Yeah.
And I will make myself a list. These are the things that I have to accomplish today. I'll try to get them done in an 8-hour period so I can shut myself off come 4 o'clock and try and have somewhat of a night off. Focusing on the things that I don't want to do first, get them out of the way. Otherwise, I know I will procrastinate and not do them, and I will save them till the next day.
Yeah.
But do the things I don't want to do first, and then the rest of the day will be all things that I'm fine doing. And it's overwhelming. There's, you know, we work 7 days a week. There's always things to do, but we feel that it's very important to try and shut it off sometimes and, you know, take time for ourselves and have a little bit of mental break and physical break. And
it's needed. What about yourself, Rob? Anything to add to that?
The calendar has just always been a mess. Sorry, but you know, Christina is the one who's good at like kind of like setting a regimen. You know, for me, we're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. I work Mondays and Tuesdays, and usually Christina's here Mondays and Tuesdays prepping the glazes, the frostings, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I would say our time together, as far as you know, like calendar is concerned, and where we have like a moment for ourselves is probably Monday and Tuesday, like in the evening hours.
Yeah.
So, but we do the best we can. It's been really hard. It's like having a kid. I have one soon, and it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. My kid will be here very shortly. So life's gonna like, I'm a pretty regimented, I'm the definition of type A. My wife is a lot more laxed. So I love a routine. I'm up at the same time every day, go to the gym, do this, do that. And then I'm going to be thrown for a loop. So just, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Which is great. You know, you can't prepare for it. So I'm just trying not to prepare for it, I guess. So you two, so you would, your goal was maybe like 300 donuts a day, like 500, maybe on a weekend. Like, I guess you're about a year in now, right? So like, what does an average day look like for the two of you when it's the weekday and the weekends?
I'd say during the week, depending on the week, we'll do anywhere from 600 to 900 on a weekday. And then the weekends, anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 on average.
That's phenomenal.
What, like 1,800 donuts plus other pastries, cinnamon rolls, Pop-Tarts?
Yeah. The holidays, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, those are always just insanity.
Yeah. Now you have the Q4 holidays coming up. I mean, you got Halloween, which I could imagine is going to have some, you know, you got Thanksgiving, you have Hanukkah, you got Christmas, you got New Year's, you got all these, the next couple months are going to be crazy busy.
It didn't even really occur to us because we were opening a business that we opened in the thick of holiday season.
Right. Yeah.
We opened a couple days before Halloween and then it was just from there, which is great. But we were like, oh my God.
Yeah, you were put to the test immediately. Yeah,
exactly.
Immediately. So do you like holiday themed type donuts or anything like that? I don't know about last year because it was like, you know, you didn't really realize that you were opening up in the thick of the holidays, but maybe this year, do you have themed donuts or anything like that?
Yeah, we will. Nice. We obviously don't have them planned out yet. We usually plan, you know, probably 2 weeks before the menu drops. But yeah, we'll definitely have some Halloween donuts, Christmas donuts, all that fun stuff.
Nice. Do you two have a favorite type of donut that you've made, whether it's a staple or that was just like a random one that you made as a specialty?
I'd say probably one of my favorites that I've made was either the passion fruit glazed or the Samoa Girl Scout cookie.
Oh, the Samoa. Yeah.
We had the Samoa on the menu from our opening day until February. And to this day, people are like, you need to put that back on the menu. I don't know where that went. And it will be back at some point as a monthly special. I'm just not sure when.
Yeah. Nice. How about yourself, Rob?
So this month, actually, here we have the Almond Joy donut, which I absolutely love because I love coconut, I love chocolate, and I love almonds. So that just hits all the spots for me. But other than that, like, I love the s'mores because recently, Christina, it was a, you know, homemade graham cracker, homemade marshmallow, the homemade chocolate, s'more, and the graham cracker sprinkled all over. I was just like, I don't know. I never really considered myself too much of a sweet guy. And now I'm becoming that guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's crazy. But yeah, definitely the Almond Joy right now for me.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a huge sweet guy. I have like in my fridge or freezer at all times is some form of chocolate. Like we have like Hershey Kisses, bags of Hershey Kisses in my fridge. I always just randomly go by and just grab one throughout the day. It's just something about it. I just always at all times for me. So typically I would ask people like, how did COVID impact you? But you were born out of COVID. And I guess you don't really know life without COVID. So like, but if you think of, you know, the there's always been changes, right? Of like how many people are allowed in inside a spot, you know, masks, no mask. Like, how have you guys been able to weather all that with the ever? I feel like it changes weekly or monthly at this point, right? Like, how have you been able to weather it just in general?
We've just tried to adapt to, you know,
yeah,
what the CDC guidelines have said this week, or, but we have a very small storefront. When we first opened, we only allowed 6 people inside. Now I would say 8 to 10 people is crowded in here because it's so small. So yeah, it's kind of like 6 people inside of always, it kind of is just like a normal thing for us without,
okay, cool.
You know, all of our customers were always just super supportive. Nobody ever gave us any backlash by wearing a mask or keeping their distance, all that. Even now, you know, we're just trying to adapt. You know, our staff, we still are wearing masks. Some customers wear them, some customers don't.
Yeah. No, that's fair. It's fair. It's ever changing. And hopefully at some point we can just eventually move on from all of this. There are a lot of gourmet donut companies out and about. It's kind of been like, I don't know, like, think it, like, it's kind of boomed a lot in the last decade or so, right? Like, why you guys, and you've been open for almost a year now, you've been very successful up to this point. You had a line out the door on opening day. Why do you think you two have been so successful up to this point? Any particular reason?
Speaking of Christina, it's we're just genuine, you know, like, when we opened a business in Milford, we didn't just want to, like, you know, sell things in Milford. We wanted to be a part of the community. And, you know, we're not those type of people that are like, hey, you know, we don't broadcast like, oh, this is what we're doing or this and that. But like, we like being involved in the community, giving to local charities or, you know, things in need. And this area is just fantastic.
I feel like we're just both very transparent with it.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, and again, we're very grateful, we've had people who were in line on grand opening day that are still regulars to this day.
Nice.
And, you know, our product wasn't what it is today because, you know, no business is perfect day one. Cool. But we have people who have supported us since day one and have, you know, saw the end goal and trusted the process. And, you know, they stuck by us every step of the way. And, you know, we're transparent on social media and in the store. You know, sometimes there are days that I have to work the storefront and I'll come up to the storefront and I'll try to hide the bags under my eyes because I've been here since 11 p.m. and I'm so exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get customers that are like, thank you for, you know, working so hard or being here today. And it's just, we love the community in Milford and our regulars and our people who have stuck by us since day one. And like I said, I just feel like
we have some real cheerleaders out there.
It's, yeah.
So, you know, some days are harder than others. Obviously, you own a business yourself, you know how it goes. And it's just like, you know, when you have those people there who are like, I love Basic Batch, you know, this is just, you made my day, you made my kid's day, you know, you made the birthday better, this and that. I mean, it really, we end up going home and we're just like, you know, that makes us feel really.
You put a lot of care into everything and not just the donuts, just like everything from the second you walk in the door, from like the decor and everything. We think of every little detail. And we just care so much and work so hard to make it what it is.
Yeah. And I think too, I don't know. I think COVID, for, you know, all the negatives that have come out of it, obviously there's positives, your business is born out of it. But I think a lot of people really have shifted their focus to helping support local businesses, right? And not just the big name people, because they see two individuals behind there with bags under their eyes, you know, for better or worse, just really try to make a business work. And I think people really, really do appreciate that, you know. And in my industry, just the Zoom world, I think it kind of humanizes you a little bit. Like, I'm literally in my kitchen right now, right? Like, we have a finished basement downstairs, but like, I got those little basement windows. I don't know, I feel like I'm in a dungeon sometimes, but when the baby comes here, I'll have to go back downstairs. But like, my dog's at my feet, you know, like, he'll just be walking around in the background sometimes. Then you got, you know, you have clients on that just have babies in the background. Correct. Like, I kind of think, like, in a lot of ways, anything that was happened due to COVID has kind of humanized people and made people really connect with people on that, like, a deeper level than just like walking in, grabbing a, you know, a blueberry donut and jetting out of there. I think it really helps bring certain people together outside of what the media will tell you. And they're trying to separate people. And with all the politics, I think in general, like, it's really helped bring people together in a lot of different ways, you know, especially with business owners and the customers that come in.
For sure.
You know, what do you see for the future of Basic Batch Donuts? It's only, you know, it's been a year almost. Like, what do you see? You got a long ways to go. You're both still super young. What do you see for the future of it?
Ideally, we would love to, you know, we're in a little strip mall plaza. Ideally, we would love to get a standalone place, yep. And really secure a home there. Toyed with many different ideas of a second location or expanding or yep. this and that. And I think right now our main goal is to make this the best it can be and focus on this one yep. thing.
We don't want the quality to suffer.
Yeah.
So we've had, you know, other property owners reach out to us and say, hey, we'd love to see a spot here. And it sounds cool, but like, you know, what we're dealing with right now is we're just trying to make sure that the quality stays the same.
Yeah.
And you know, we kind of focus on this business and make sure it's right, because we don't want to start, you know,
expanding
yep. and giving our customers something that we don't think is something that we should serve just to make a dollar. We've never been really money motivated, although maybe we should be sometimes, you know, like some of the donuts we put out, we don't even make any money on, but it's what you got to do. Yep. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, when you start, I mean, you're going to eat no pun intended, you're going to eat the profits, you know, sometimes, but yeah, like I think quality over quantity first, right? Like I've seen it happen where people try to grow too big too quickly and then the quality suffers. And then that what's going to happen is you're going to lose, you know, the customer support and eventually you'll have nothing. So I think you're on a good trajectory and mindset of just making what you have as perfect as it can be and sustainable and profitable. And then you'll figure out, okay, now we start the same exact process for the second location, whether it's another strip mall plaza or you open up a, you know, your own standalone and then just grow, you know, because you two are both so young still, you know, you have such a long ways to go that you can do that and just make sure everything's done well and done correctly so you can make it, you know, sustainable for the long term. But yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, I think you two are doing everything right from like just making it quality before quantity and then growing it slowly and steady from there. You know, it's like the tortoise and the hare. Tortoise always wins. You just want to make sure you do it correctly. Are there any misconceptions about the gourmet donut industry or anything like that? Anything you've come up in the last year? You can say no, if there isn't any.
I don't know necessarily the gourmet donut industry, but I think the donut industry itself is the misconception is we're programmed to think that donuts should cost a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, be really cheap. So we've had to battle that a lot. You know, why does your donut cost as much as it does?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the misconception is people don't understand that, you know, we're here at 11 o'clock at night and right. there's so much work and labor that goes involved in it. And, you know, product is expensive, rent yeah. is expensive, employees are expensive, everything costs money. And if we would sell all of our donuts for a dollar, I don't think we'd be open to this day.
Of course. That's fair. So outside of, I know you two both work like 25 hours a day, right? But outside of work, what are some of the hobbies that you two enjoy doing, you know, when you get those Mondays, Tuesdays to yourself, I guess?
Try to get out, go for a walk, a hike with our dog, you know, try and go outside and exercise as much as we can, you know, yeah. binge on our favorite show that we're trying to watch. It takes us a year to watch one season, but yeah.
What's the latest show?
We're into Manifest.
Ooh, I haven't seen that yet.
Sounds pretty good.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
We would have been so early and it's like, we're lucky if we can like sneak in a TV show.
Manifest. And sometimes we binge on a little trash TV.
Yeah. The trash TV. That's my wife is all over that. She got me, I'm not going to lie though. She got me hooked on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
And it's so awful, but it's just something to have on in the background. It's just, it's terrible entertainment, but I hate admitting that I enjoy it. So
you're into it now and you have to see it through.
Yes, 100%. Like I got to see what happens to this individual. Like, ah, he's such an asshole, you know, like I hope he gets kicked off, but yeah, I can relate. And same here. Like I think we started Ozark probably about a year ago. We're halfway through season two, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. By the time we finally get home, we just don't want to dedicate an hour to actually pay attention to a show. We'll throw some trash on and just like then sit there and watch it. So I get it. So, you know, you two obviously both work a ton. You're both super young, but do you ever like see yourself 100% retiring, like outside of being physically or mentally incapable of working? Like, do you ever think you'll officially just retire, sell the business and sail off into the sunset? Or you think you'll always have a foot in it? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm pretty torn.
Yeah.
I feel like I would love to retire. That would be, you know, a dream. But I also really enjoy being here. So I would always love to have that foot in the door and be a part of the business. Ultimately, we want to have kids and have a family.
Yeah.
So that's the ultimate dream aside from the business. But
yeah. What are your thoughts, Rob?
I'm the kind of person that goes on vacation and I can't just sit on the beach and read a book. I'm just not that person. So I feel like that's the way I'm going to be in retirement. It's going to be like week one. Oh, this is awesome. Week two, like, all right, this is cool. Week three, give me something to do. And that's how I've been my whole life. So that's just how I feel like I'd be.
Yeah, I'm right on the same boat. Like, I've made the joke a couple of times on this podcast. Like, my wife and I, so we've been married 2 years now. We went to Hawaii on our honeymoon. Hawaii is amazing. But like waking up and the beaches, like everything is absolutely amazing. But waking up in the same location for 10 straight days, I'm like, eh, like enough of nothing. I'm a white Irish guy. So like I can't sit outside and just, I can't sit outside and just bake in the sun. She's Armenian. She's got like this olive skin tone. Like she gets a tan in a blizzard, right? It's just not, like, it's not fair. So me sitting there, I just like, I got to find shade and like hide underneath that. So I don't like burn to a crisp and just completely ruin the entire experience. So on that side, and then same to what Christina said, like, I don't know, like I get bored quickly as well. And I don't know if I feel like I'll always have my foot in it to some degree. I enjoy golf. Like a slow round of golf is like 4.5 hours. Like I still got 20 hours left in the day. I don't know what I'd do. So I always think I'll have my foot in the door with something in some capacity, but I was just kind of curious when I ask entrepreneurs those questions, because I feel like a lot of us are, you know, pretty much the same across the board. Last few questions that I've asked every guest on Boston's Best is the first one being, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to start their own business, any business?
I would say you definitely have to be passionate about what you're doing and be ready to dedicate everything to it. If you're not passionate about it, really don't love what you're doing, it's very likely that you'll probably quit. I really think that you have to enjoy what you're doing because it's so hard. It is so, so hard, harder than we probably could have ever imagined. And just, you know, there are days that we go home and I'm just like, I'm so done. I'm like, why did we do this? But then I wake up the next morning and I'm ready to do it again because ultimately I do love it and I'm happy that we did it and I don't regret a thing. My advice would just be make sure that you are 100% in it, because that's the only way that's going to be successful.
Yeah. It's a struggle to start for sure.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Rob? Any thoughts?
I think Christina nailed it. It is a lot of work. And going into this, I never realized how much work it was going to be. And it is all consuming. I mean, you're doing something basic in your normal everyday life, and then the business comes to mind. Oh, did I remember to order this? Did I remember to talk to this person? Did I remember to do this or that? And it's just, it's the first thing, well, the second thing you think about in the morning. And, the last thing you think about when you go to bed. And it is all consuming.
Yeah.
Your life becomes the business. It's like almost intertwined. They're not separate.
Nope.
It's your baby.
Yeah. You're not a W-2 employee where you clock out at 5 o'clock and you can just shut it down for the weekend. Like there's
not an option.
No, not at all. I mean, I took this past weekend pretty much off, which shouldn't be like a hard thing to do. Like it's a Saturday and Sunday, but I woke up this morning. I have so many emails. I just immediately felt defeated to start the day, and I overslept by an hour and a half, which I never do. So I was already like stressed about today. And then I started.
You woke up at 5:30. That's better than most people.
I know, but it's just like, I know. But I just, you get so used to doing something that my mind was like, okay, I'm 90 minutes behind to start the day. Right. Like that's just like what my mind goes. And it's just been like playing catch up all day long, because I took 2 days off. It's like, it's crazy. But you two are still young, but you're old enough now where I think you can pass on some advice. But if you could tell your 18-year-old selves one thing, what would you tell them?
That's a really tough question. But I guess what I would say is just keep going. You know, when you're younger, things might not be going the way that, you want it to, or, it might seem like you're not going down exactly the path that you want, or you don't know how you're going to get there. Just keep fighting, just keep going for what you want. And you will get there as long as you believe in yourself and, put those vibes out into the universe. And just keep going for it. Believe in yourself. And just go for it.
I would tell my 18-year-old self to stop seeking the approval of others. What you want to do. Stop worrying so much about what other people think of you. And, you miss out on a lot of opportunities that way when you're worried about everybody else and not just so focused on yourself and your own goals.
Yep. That hits home to me. So like little background on myself, I never finished college and I always felt like ashamed to say it, even though like I started a business when I was 21, you know, like I bought a house when I was 23, but like it didn't like stack up to what was like the quote unquote normal. And I always felt like for whatever reason, like ashamed for, I don't know why, like, I see friends of mine coming out of college with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And it's like, why am I like so ashamed to like say, why do I need their approval on like how I went about things? Like I'm doing okay. Right. And I think when you're so young, you don't know any different because you're just, for lack of better words, like programmed to think like you got to go things the traditional route. And so many people will tell you, oh, you're crazy to start your own business. And it's like, I don't think until you get older that you really realize that. And it sounds like so cliche, like, oh, if I could just tell my kid like this, like when they're growing up, but eventually you just learn that type of stuff on your own. So yeah. I can totally relate to that. So lastly, last question I've asked every guest on Boston's Best is everyone has a varying depiction of what success looks like to them. So how do you two define success?
I guess I would say, obviously, everybody defines success differently depending on what your own personal and life goals are. But I guess, setting goals for yourself and achieving them and ultimately being genuinely happy in the end.
Yeah.
You know, depending on if it's, you know, your goals are business related, personal related, anything, set goals for yourself. If you achieve them and you're ultimately happy in the end, I think you've mastered the success.
Love it. What about yourself, Rob?
Very similar. I mean, success to me is either, you know, we take it in very small strides. We're not looking, you know, to get this, but like small everyday things, whether it be, you know, a small little goal to get to or a dilemma or a problem that we have to get through, like, you know, getting through that little problem or getting through that little daily success of, you know, hey, we found a vendor to get our boxes from when there's nobody to get boxes from. To me, that success and taking it in those small strides, I feel like gives you a lot more rewards, you know, throughout, you know, your daily life, as opposed to setting the bar way up here. Yeah. Set it small, take those steps.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. The little steps at a time, just to get that constant motivation, right? Like just getting yourself that momentum going yourself that constant motivation. Like you start off with like five little wins each day, you're going to be fine. If you try to tackle this big thing that's going to take hours to start the day, you're going to get bogged down. You're going to get discouraged. But I do the same thing. I do the same few things every single morning, with the exception of today, of like how to just like build like little wins to start the day. And it just kind of steamrolls from there. So I totally agree. Rob and Christina, thank you very much for coming on Boston's Best. It's been a blast chatting about Basic Batch Donuts. Thrilled to have you two on the podcast and look forward to promoting it some more.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Hey everyone, I just wanted to say thank you for checking out my podcast. I really do appreciate the love I've received for this show. I believe now more than ever, any exposure to local businesses is great for them to receive, and I'm trying to do my part. If you are a local business owner or someone you know in the Boston area that would like to be featured on the podcast, please email me at bostonsbestpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow this podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Instagram with the handle @Boston's Best_podcast, as well as Facebook at facebook.com/Boston's Best podcast. Again, I truly appreciate the great feedback for this show, and stay tuned for each new episode every Friday at 8 a.m. Take care.